We have some breaking news that's coming into our newsroom at this moment right now. Shaletta, I understand there is some news on Jamie Kloss, the missing girl from Barron, Wisconsin. You have something right there. It's from the Facebook page of the Barron, Wisconsin's Facebook page. What can you tell me right now?
Yes, Edgar. This is from the Barron County Sheriff's Department, and it says Jamie Kloss has been located. It says on Thursday evening, the Barron County Sheriff's Department was notified by the Douglas County, Wisconsin Sheriff's Department that they had located Jamie Kloss alive, Edgar. She is alive.
Wow. Wow.
Shortly after this, yes, Mike, shortly after this, they are saying a suspect was taken into custody in regard to the case. Now, they say they do not have any other details at this time, guys. It's a very fluid and active investigation. They say they are not answering any questions we've called. They're not taking any calls on this tonight. Edgar, they are planning a press briefing tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Sheriff's Department in Barron. They are receiving support from the FBI and Wisconsin, the DCI agents. They're all going to be at this news conference, and that, Edgar, is when they say they are going to.
Hallelujah, if they found her alive.
Yeah, they did. They said that's when they're going to answer any questions. They say they also could not have endured this case without the support of the public, and so they want to thank the public for their support, and they have a big thank you to the family of Jamie Kloss for their patience and their support. But again, Thursday evening, the Barron County Sheriff's Department has been notified by the Douglas County, Wisconsin Sheriff's Department that Jamie Kloss is alive. One suspect at this point is taken into custody. It doesn't say if he is arrested or if there are any charges that are going to be filed. But again, a news briefing will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. at the Barron County Sheriff's Department, and that's when they're going to be giving out information.
That's amazing.
Edgar, just break in as we move on the night here with whatever we need on that.
Wow. And it's just it's something that I was walking into the newsroom. I was told by Adam Carter sending me a message to check to see if there's something trending on Kloss. We went right to the Facebook page of the Barron, Wisconsin, and there it was. Jamie Kloss found alive, one person in custody.
Wow. It is, it's unbelievable news. And the myriad of emotions that you go through when you see that community and the absolute, I mean, it seemed like, Edgar, there wasn't a clue on this case.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means, but it just seemed like, I mean, there just was nothing. You couldn't tell if this was random, if this was whatever.
Yeah.
But to hear that Jamie Kloss was found and alive?
Since October 15th, she's been gone.
Is that what it's been?
October 15th is when that call, that Monday morning, is when this whole situation unfolded. A 911 call went out to the Barron County Sheriff's Office. That's when the whole thing kind of set things into motion. Deputies went to the home where they found Jamie's parents dead. They then started this search for her because they had no idea what happened to her. But if people don't know what's going on right now, the Barron, Wisconsin Sheriff has just put out on Facebook that Jamie Kloss, who's been missing since October 15th, has been found alive and one person is in custody for it.
Oh, man. And that's as much as we know right now.
Yep.
I mean, this is truly breaking news.
Here on CCO, and we've been talking about Jamie Kloss being found and apparently safe. Barron County Sheriff's Department will have a press conference tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And joining us now is Patty Wetterling. And Patty, this more than any of us, this has to make you very happy.
I am so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for never giving up on Jamie. You know what? That's been our dream, our lifelong dream, that these kids come home. And I said from the beginning, I think she's alive, and she was.
I think I told you this many, many years ago, Patty.
You did.
I was living in Colorado. And I'd commute an hour to work every day, going up north and then south on I-25. And every car that went by me and every car that I went by and every truck stop, I was always looking for Jacob. And, you know, and
yep.
I've got a feeling there were hundreds of thousands of people that were doing the exact same thing on a daily basis, because we all care about this. Yeah, we just care.
Thank you. You've been with us for a really long time, and for that I will be eternally grateful and indebted. And when Jamie was taken and her parents were dead, and I thought, you know what? If he meant to kill her, she'd have been found. I believe she's alive. I told everybody I talked to, I believe she's alive, and she was. And she has her whole life in front of her. I'm hoping she's okay. She is alive, and that potential is there. And that was what we prayed for Jacob and for every missing child. Yeah. And I'm so, I am celebrating the fact that she was found alive.
You know, every once in a while we have a good outcome like this. We had the case of the young girl that was abducted out of her home in Salt Lake City, and a year later, there she was. It gives us hope that good things can turn can happen in this.
Oh gosh, Elizabeth Smollett, Casey Dugard, gosh, I'm drawing a blank on all the names. I have a whole notebook of kids who came home alive after a very long time.
Wow.
And you never give up hope on these kids, and that's part of the investigation. You have to look at both sides. Could it be a homicide? Yes. But could this child be alive? And yes, they can. And I really believe Jamie was alive, and I told anybody I talked to, I think she's alive, and she was.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm happy. That's wonderful, and you're very much involved with all of this, aren't you?
I'm out in D.C. at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children board meeting, and so you can't get a better time for a celebration than that. I'm really happy.
Patty, can you give us any idea the number of children that have gone missing?
Oh my gosh, no, I really can't tonight. But
there's a lot.
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is a center for that and for the most successful recovery of these kids. And the reality is it's scary, and it has to be a twofold investigation. Yes, it could be a homicide, but yes, many of these kids are still alive.
Yeah.
And that's what we are hoping for and celebrating. And that was what kept me alive for 27 years.
Oh, my.
And still today. I'm dancing out here. I'm happy.
Patty, I got to tell you something. Your strength through all of that has always, for myself personally, I've always been amazed at your strength.
Thank you.
And I have so
much. Well, we believe in kids. You know what?
Yeah, yeah.
We believe in kids. We all believe in kids and the future that they hold to grow up and follow their dreams. And that is a possibility for Jamie now. She escaped a horrible, horrible situation, but she can rebuild and live a good life.
What is the website that for the
National Center of MissingKids.com?
Very good. So we can check that out and get more information. Patty, thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight. And
thank you.
Wonderful night. Thank you so much, Patty.
Thank you. Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Patty Wetterling, of course, the mother of Jacob Wetterling.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Pam Coulter. President Trump said almost 3 months after she was reported missing, a Wisconsin teenager has been found alive, reporter Bruce Marcus.
13-year-old Jamie Kloss has been found alive about an hour and a half north of her home in Barron, Wisconsin. The child was first reported missing October 15th when her parents were murdered in their home. A suspect is in custody. Jamie is being reunited with her family.
Authorities have not released the name of the suspect. A news conference is planned tomorrow morning.
.10:03, I'm Edgar Linares, WCCO News, the Hour's top story. Nearly 3 months missing, more than 2,000 tips and thousands of searches. Jamie Kloss is alive, as you heard on WCCO on CBS News. The 13-year-old Barron teen was found alive nearly 3 hours away in Douglas County, Wisconsin. The Barron County Sheriff, Chris Fitzgerald, said in a statement they were notified by the Douglas County, Wisconsin Sheriff's Department they had located Jamie Kloss alive, and shortly after, a suspect was taken into custody in regards to the case. Patty Wetterling, the mother of Jacob Wetterling, who went missing for decades and was later found to be a victim of a homicide, gave us her reaction to the news.
Center for Missing and Exploited Children board meeting, and we'd just come back from dinner. And so we're sitting around my friend's table in Virginia talking about the board meeting, and now all of a sudden I got a text from my daughter saying, I think Jamie's been found. And I'm like jumping up and down. This is what I lived for. This is my hope. This is my reality. Missing kids do come home. And I thought she was alive. Everything inside of me said, she's out there. She's alive. And she was. And I'm hoping she's okay.
Jamie has been missing since October 15th after deputies responded to a 911 call from her parents' home. Deputies found her parents shot and killed. A news conference once again will be held tomorrow morning. WCCO Radio will be there.
Breaking news from WCCO.
It's 10 o'clock. Good morning. 20 degrees, partly cloudy. I'm Steve Simpson. We are now waiting. In fact, they are coming into the room right now. The press conference getting underway in Barron, Wisconsin. Many questions surrounding how Jamie Kloss was found alive. We're expecting to learn a lot more here. And we will take you right now to Barron, Wisconsin, and hear from Chris Fitzgerald, the sheriff.
Good morning, and thank you for being here on this amazing day. For 88 days, I have stood before you and said we would work tirelessly to bring Jamie Kloss home. Today, I can report we have done just that. At this moment, Jamie is being in the comforting embrace of law enforcement as the investigation and her three-month ordeal ensues. 88 days ago, we stood before you speaking about the unthinkable tragedy and asked you to help us find 13-year-old Jamie Kloss. For 88 days, you called in tips, brought us food, searched arm in arm with us, wrote us notes, and never gave up hope. As the days and weeks wore on, you still continued to call. Law enforcement locally and across the country continued to comb through over 3,500 tips, and the family never gave up hope. Last night, our collective promise was fulfilled with Jamie's safe recovery. Thank you to all. Joining me today, FBI Special Agent Justin Talameo, Josh Call, Wisconsin Attorney General, Brian O'Keefe from the Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, Barron County District Attorney DA Ryan Wright, Douglas County Sheriff Tom Dahlbeck, Captain Nick Wanick from the Wisconsin State Patrol, and Diane Trimbley, Superintendent of the Barron School District. Jamie is safe. And the family is requesting that you please respect their privacy at this extremely emotional time. Also, in a few minutes, you'll hear from Superintendent Diane Trimbley on a message from the school. And please respect the respect of no media on school property today, please. This case remains a team effort from the beginning. And I'll never be able to thank all the agencies and businesses, individuals, that helped on this case with their singular focus to bring Jamie home. Yesterday, there was a lot of confusion with an erroneous social media post about 4:30 p.m. in Walworth County. This was an incident in Walworth County, but in no way had connection to this case as reported on Facebook. Shortly after I posted that Jamie was not involved in the Walworth County incident, my detectives were alerted a 911 call was being given out in Douglas County. Responding to a person claiming they had found Jamie. I'm now going to bring up Sheriff Tom Dahlbeck, the Douglas County Sheriff, and he'll address this part of the incident. Sheriff?
Thanks, Chris. My agency received a 911 call about 4:30 yesterday afternoon from an individual who was out walking her dog. Said she was approached by a young female claiming to be Jamie Kloss. This lady immediately went to a nearby house, notified that neighbor of the claim, and this neighbor called 911, and my deputies responded en masse immediately and identified Jamie as the person that approached the neighbor, took control of her and possession of her, and put her in safekeeping, and a short time later, one of my patrol sergeants happened to find a vehicle that matched the description that Jamie gave my deputies of the suspect and pulled the vehicle over and took the suspect in custody at that time. Beyond that, Jamie was taken to a local hospital up in the Duluth Superior area where she was looked over and examined, and she was held overnight for observation. And The suspect was interviewed and subsequently brought back down here to Barron County. That's all I have right now.
Thank you, Sheriff Dahlbeck, and thank your deputies for the work that they helped in this case. The suspect was arrested and is currently being held in the Barron County Jail. That suspect is Jake Thomas Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N. He is 21 years old from Gordon, Wisconsin. He is currently being held on two counts of first-degree intentional homicide for the murder of Jamie's parents and one count of kidnapping. Barron County District Attorney Brian White will give a brief comment next.
Thank you, Sheriff Fitzgerald. First of all, I want to thank everyone with law enforcement for the tremendous work that they did to bring Jamie home. That starts with Sheriff Fitzgerald and the Barron County Sheriff's Department. It includes the FBI, the Division of Criminal Investigation, and the hundreds of officers who came to Barron County to assist in this investigation. I saw firsthand how brave, determined, and dedicated these men and women are. It has truly been an honor to see the work that they have performed as public servants to this community. It was only a few months ago that we as a community gathered to pray for Jamie's safe return at Barron High School. God has answered those prayers. The case will now be referred to the District Attorney's office. Our office will review the reports and then make a charging decision. It is my intent to have a criminal complaint filed by next week. It is our job in prosecuting this case to obtain justice for James, Denise, and Jamie Kloss. We will do so.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, DA Wright. This case remains very active and fluid as we stand before you today. We have FBI, DCI, State Patrol, Douglas County investigators, and Barron County detectives actively working the scene and conducting interviews. So details will be sparse right now. We do plan a 4 p.m. media update with more details to be released at that time right here. As you heard, the suspect is being charged with kidnapping. Jamie was taken against her will and escaped from a residence at which she was being held and found help. We also do not believe at this time that the suspect had any contact with the family. We do believe Jamie was the only target. I can tell you that the subject planned his actions and took many proactive steps to hide his identity from law enforcement and the general public. Next, I want to invite some of our partners to make a few comments. Again, these agencies stepped forward coming here, never gave up hope, and became part of our community. I can never thank them enough. First, I'll bring up Special Agent in charge of the FBI, Justin Talameo.
Thank you, Sheriff. Again, I am Justin Talameo. I'm the FBI Special Agent in charge of the Milwaukee Division, which covers all of Wisconsin. We are so pleased to stand here today with our fellow law enforcement partners to celebrate Jamie's recovery. It is an incredible day. As the sheriff said, this case was challenging given the proactive steps the subject took to avoid detection. In cases like this, we often need a big break, and it was Jamie herself who gave us that break. We'd like to thank the citizens who came forward quickly to help save Jamie and the fast action of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office to bring her home safely. I also want to recognize the tireless efforts of agents, deputies, officers, and staff who spent the past 3 months never giving up on Jamie. This is all the outcome we like to have when a child goes missing. This is all we want to see, and it happened in this case. Thanks again to Jamie's family and the entire community of Barron for never giving up on Jamie. Today we can finally say Jamie Kloss is home. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I want to bring up Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
Thank you, Sheriff. First, let me thank Sheriff Fitzgerald for his incredible leadership throughout this process. Sheriff, people across Wisconsin, and I suspect across this country, are overjoyed that Jamie is finally safe. This was an effort that involved numerous law enforcement agencies, more than I have time to name. And I want to thank everybody who participated in this investigation. I want to thank everybody in the community who volunteered, who played a role, who supported this investigation, and who supported law enforcement. I want to say that I am incredibly proud of the work that the Department of Justice played in assisting with this investigation. The Department of Justice will continue to assist as needed with the investigation and with the prosecution of this case. So thank you again.
Thank you. Next, we'll bring up Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation Administrator Brian O'Keefe.
Thank you, Sheriff. good morning. A lot of thank yous today for everybody. And I want to say first, thank you to the media also for helping out. You guys have been present here, but you have also been a great resource for law enforcement getting the message out regarding Jamie. So that's incredible. Thank you to you. Also want to say thank you to all of our agents, the deputies. We've talked about it. This case had so many technical aspects that were very challenging for law enforcement, and everybody never blinked about putting aside their personal lives to bring a little girl home. And the work that got done is really, I don't think I've seen this much work done on any one case I've been involved in my entire career. And the friendships and the professionalism of all agencies at the local, state, and federal level have just been beyond what anybody could really expect. The FBI brought in resources from all over the country. DOJ had our resources. We're here on ground today trying to help the community recover. Our victim witness people are up here along with those from the local and federal level. There's a lot of people that are very emotional about the recovery of Jamie. It's a happy thing. But now we have to work on the recovery process, and we've reached out to a lot of professionals to help this young lady and her family as they're reunited, and she goes through a new healing process. So we ask that you just please respect the family today as we try to get this work through. There'll be time for questions and interviews on that later. But thank you again for everything.
Thank you, Brian. Lastly, I want to bring up Barron Superintendent Diane Trimley to talk about the school plans.
Hello, my name is Diane Trimley, and I have the honor to serve as superintendent of the Barron Area School District in Barron County. What a glorious day. This will certainly never be forgotten. There's so much love and hugs in our district today. It's just insurmountable. Jamie has been found safe and has been reunited with her family and friends. There is truly nothing in the world better than that. Now I would like to take time to address a few of the common questions that have come our way last night and this morning from all of you. What has it been like in the Barron Area School District in the past months? It has been 88 days of hope for her safe return, 88 days of prayers for Jamie, her family, friends, our students, staff, and community, 88 days of holding on to the faith that our authorities would never give up, and they certainly did not. Finally, 88 days of our close-knit community with the same goal in mind, and that was to bring Jamie home and back into our arms. I would like to thank everyone for your overflow of support that continues to come to us from local, state, federal agencies, businesses, families, along with the incredible small town connection that we have. We are truly a beautiful family. Most importantly, we want to thank Jamie for being so courageous and for achieving an opportunity to find her way back to us. What an extraordinary young lady. What is the support like in our district was another question that was quite common. The support for our Barron Area School District has been nothing less than exceptional. The teamwork from our administration, our SRO, supervisors, counselors, school psychologists, and faith partners from our district, as well as other neighboring districts, has and continues to successfully address the distinguished needs of our students, teachers, bus drivers, support staff, as well as our entire community. The Department of Justice School Safety Team was the second call I received last evening. It came to me minutes after I received that miraculous call from Sheriff Fitzgerald, who was immediately assessing our needs in the district after he gave me this news. The DOJ Office of School Safety has partnered with us to ensure that our students, staff, and the larger school community receive the support that we need to feel safe during this investigation. The Office of School Safety has provided on-site support to Barron School District in the form of school psychologists trained in crisis response, therapy dogs from the Wausau Police Department, additional school resource officers, and emergency management guidance. The Office of School Safety has also contacted their partner, Safe and Sound Schools, to help us deliver training and provide support to our school community regarding crisis response, trauma, as well as recovery. In addition to the DOJ Office of School Safety, we are also grateful to the Wausau Police Department, Eau Claire Police Department, National Association of School Psychologists, and Safe and Sound Schools. One last question that's been asked that I would like to address. Will our district be holding a celebration or ceremony in the community of any sort? All I can say to that at this time is you better believe it. You better believe it. Jamie, we missed you, and we are so grateful you are home. Thank you.
Before I take questions, and we'll have to really, with all of you, we'll get to them. Don't worry. I have some thank yous. Again, my thank yous will never be enough. Thank you to Jamie for having the will to survive. Jamie's family for their patience and keeping their faith in us. The people who rescued Jamie yesterday. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office and all their work yesterday. All of the law enforcement agencies locally and across the nation that helped us with the tips. The general public for their support of Jamie. From Jamie Facebook groups to businesses that fed us to the posters that went up on semi-trailers around town, everywhere that you guys put posters up. The school, superintendent, teachers, and all the students for their notes and the beautiful tree lighting. The FBI, DCI, State Patrol, and all the other agencies that assisted us. To the members of my team, my command staff, the dispatchers that took all the tips, patrol officers for following up on all the tips, and our detectives as they continue to work on the field today. Lastly, my family for all their support and understanding over the past 3 months. This has been an awesome day, and I can't thank you guys, the media, enough either. I got lots of tips or a text last night, tips of support. Not looking for information, just saying our newsroom is crying with you. That was pretty awesome. It's been a tremendous day. We'll be posting pictures and handing out pictures very shortly of the suspect. We also will email this out. This is the suspect currently in the Barron County Jail. Our PIOs from the FBI will be passing these out, and we will also email that to our press and put it on our Facebook page. So with that, many of us are here, are available to answer questions. Again, let's try to do it in somewhat.
Sheriff, yes. Jamie's demeanor, her condition in those moments when she found that neighbor, what does she look like, what does she sound like, and how is she right now, description about it.
I can talk about now. She is good. She's been cleared from the hospital, as Sheriff Dahlbeck said. There is a reunification process in place going on right now that includes medical, mental evaluations, questioning by detectives and FBI and DCI agents, and then reunification with family. We're working on that process is in place right now. Part of that is in place. We hope to have her back here in Barron County this morning or early afternoon.
How much do you know right now about what happened to her in the last 3 months? Do you know that yet?
We do not know that. This group behind me does not have that information. This is a very active and fluid case. We are serving search warrants right at this moment. in Gordon, in other areas for vehicles, looking for evidence. And again, that we hope to release a lot more of that information at 4 o'clock.
Sheriff, you said that Jamie was the target, not her parents. So that, what interaction, what contact did the suspect have with Jamie beforehand?
That's what we're trying to figure out now, but we believe it was very, we believe there's really none, no contact.
Do you know if they knew each other prior to this?
I don't know that. We're waiting for that. Again, we think at 4 o'clock we'll be able to release more information about that.
Did Jake Patterson have any connection to law enforcement or any criminal history prior to this?
Jake Patterson had zero criminal history locally and zero criminal history in the state of Wisconsin. We are not looking for any additional suspects.
Was Gordon on your radar before this?
Was Gordon on our radar? Gordon was not on our radar. First court appearance?
We don't have that yet. That'll be set after we file our criminal complaint.
So sometime next week, though.
Yes.
We believe it'll be next week someday, or a day next week.
Can you explain how she was able to get away yesterday?
She is currently doing that with our detectives now. I do not have that. I just know that she did escape from the home and did find help.
On that note, Sheriff, you've been working tirelessly for 88 days to see her escape by herself. What is that like?
That is the will of a kid to survive. It's the unthinkable. I mean, it's just, you guys understand the fake news that's out there, and you guys get bombarded with it. And we just had it prior to this. I mean, I wasn't done with the first tip about she's not in Walworth County and she's in Douglas County. How can that be? I mean, my head spins, as you guys have seen for the last 88 days. It's amazing. The will of that 13-year-old girl to survive and escape, and that comes from the hope and the prayers and this community and what everybody did. I think what's very interesting is she was recognized immediately by both the female walking the dog and the people at the house because of the work that we did, the public did, and the media did. I think that can't go untalked about here. I mean, that was remarkable. That people recognized her. Just what we wanted to happen, happened.
Sheriff, a couple months ago, you talked about a release of a couple of car descriptions. Were those cars abandoned by the case law? And the question is, how did she leave the scene? Was it by car, by foot?
She left my foot, the scene, and the suspect has several vehicles. We're currently evaluating those vehicles.
Sheriff, you...
Yes. We were just briefed on that by our detectives. That's what they're trying to figure out right now with both interviews of the person we've arrested, Mr. Patterson, and the interviews with Jamie.
Sheriff, does he have any ties to Barron? Does he have any ties here in Barron?
He does have a tie to Barron County.
Sheriff, what said that Jamie was held in the hospital overnight? Is there any signs of physical abuse?
I do not know the answer to that. All I know is she's medically cleared at this time, so she's available to our detectives to start the second part of the reunification process, which is the interview that they are conducting at this time so that we can bring her home.
Sheriff, what steps did the suspect take to not get caught?
We can't comment on that yet because, one, we haven't been briefed on that. We just know that he has taken some measures to avoid detection from both law enforcement and the public.
Was he in one area the whole time with Jamie?
We don't know that. It appears that way, but we don't know. We can't confirm that completely yet.
Sure. The incident, there was a 911 call made from the home. Do we know who made that 911 call?
At this time, I haven't been told who made that 911 call.
Sheriff,
hang on.
It's a very emotional day, obviously. I see the team behind me. Describe the emotions when you found out he was found. Don't do that. I can see it on everyone's face.
I mean, it was first unreal, and is it true? And then when we confirmed with Sheriff Dahlbeck's team that it's confirmed it was her, you know, my legs started to shake, man. It was awesome. It was just the stress and relief. I mean, it was awesome. I don't have a different word. I mean, it's just fabulous. It was just great. I don't know. I mean, my wife and kids are here, so I have to be careful. But it was pretty. It ranks right up there. I'll tell you that. And it was awesome to call Diane. To tell the DA to talk to these guys that have been, they're just not cops. They're part of this community. When
Special Agent in Charge Justin Talamayo said, we're part of this community. When Brian O'Keefe's guys come up, and they've been part of this community, they've been part of it for 88 days. They didn't come here Monday until noon and come back on Friday. They worked every single day of the week on this case. It was tremendous effort by these people behind me. This is a team, and you guys are part of it, so thank you.
Sheriff, was there anyone else in Patterson's home in Gordon when you guys went there yesterday?
There was no one else in the home.
And where was he arrested? Where was he arrested?
Where he was arrested, I'm going to let Sheriff Dahlbeck answer that because I don't know.
Question. Where was he actually, where'd you pull him over?
Where did Mr. Patterson get arrested?
He was just down the road from the residence.
Did he surrender peacefully?
Yes.
Was he looking for her?
No, I don't believe so.
At this point, has he confessed to anything?
I'll leave that
to Sheriff. He's being interviewed. I don't know the answer to that.
Did Jamie identify the suspect? Either from the hospital room or whoever, did she identify the suspect that you guys have?
I don't know the answer to that question either.
Sheriff, does
Patterson
own the house?
I don't know the answer to that question. Does he own the house? And I don't know the answer to that.
Do you know if Jamie was inside the home when her parents were killed?
Jamie was inside the home when her parents were killed.
How she was kept in that house against her will, she locked
up? Don't know that answer. That's what the search warrant is for right now. As we speak, it's being served.
Sheriff, what was your first phone call?
Good question. My chief deputy, because I had to remember. The family's reaction, we were able to coordinate efforts on that because we had a reunification plan in place. Excuse me. And we were able to do the family and Lady Smith. Some of that family was at a basketball game here in Barron, and we sent three teams out, and I got to tell Jennifer Smith. We had the Russ County Sheriff and a detective tell the family and Lady Smith, and then my chief deputy did the family that was at the basketball game here. And they were broke down. I mean, it was because they had heard about the fake news. So they thought we were coming to confirm that. That wasn't her. Don't worry. But when we said she was found safe and alive, tears and lots of hugs.
Sheriff, why do you think she was
abducted? Based on some limited information I have, I believe she was the target. But from our detectives, I don't know how they got that information.
Did they have any contact on social media?
It doesn't appear to be.
Sir, can you talk about what you immediately preceded the abduction?
Expand on that. Like, what did the suspect do?
The plan is actually to change the target, so I'm just curious. So you said you didn't think that they had contact beforehand.
Right. So I don't know what he did right afterwards. His immediate... what he did with Jamie immediately after. I don't know where they went. I don't know if there's a secondary location. That's, again, what our detectives...
Have you recovered a weapon?
Have we recovered a weapon? I don't know that at this time.
Sheriff, why did you never lose hope that she was alive?
She's a 13-year-old girl, and I'm the sheriff of this county, and my job is to make sure everybody's safe, as these guys all take the same oath, and there was no use... There's no reason to give up hope. We didn't have any evidence to show that she was injured or that she was hurt at the scene. There was no reason to give up hope. That tree lighting ceremony at the school, those kids believed, and when kids believe, it's easy for adults to believe.
At this point, does it appear that Patterson had any mental health issues?
I have no idea on that question.
Can you tell us more about where she was being held in this area, the type of home that's...
it's a home in a remote area. That's all I know, outside of Gordon, Wisconsin.
Has she been there the entire time, or...?
We don't know that answer. I don't have an answer of how long. Well, thank you.
How did the suspect know Jamie in the first place?
I do not know that answer. Our detectives are figuring that out as we speak.
Just to make sure I understood you correctly earlier, he didn't know her parents at all.
We don't believe that there was contact there.
Is there anything? When you say contact, does that mean physical contact?
Or any
relationship? He never had met them.
Doesn't appear to be.
So you believe he went there with the intention of abducting her and did whatever he had to do so?
It appears that way.
Did that 911 call pick up any audio that would glean any information? No. Two more
questions, he said.
There were thousands of tips, but no leads. Why do you think this investigation was so difficult?
I think because of the steps he took. What we've been briefed on, again, I can't comment until we confirm a lot of that thing, because I don't want to tell you something and have to change my story. It's a remote area. There isn't a lot of houses in that area. He not only concealed his identity from us, he concealed, it appears he concealed
her from other people also, his friends. And I don't know the answer to that.
Sure,
that's the question I want to answer.
Final question. Was your husband employed and what did he do?
He was not employed at this current time.
And how far did she have to walk from where she was held to?
Do you know, Sheriff, how far she had to walk?
No, I don't. I don't know that.
We don't have that answer.
Any
To Jenny O? No, it doesn't appear to any connection to Jenny O.
Sheriff, brave little girl, but can you tell us anything about what the last 3 months have been like for her? Is there fear in her eye?
I have not seen her, talked to her, and again, that process is taking part. We'll be back at 4 o'clock. Thank you guys all again. Appreciate it.
There you have it, the voice of Chris Fitzgerald, the sheriff of Barron County. And again, the headlines coming out of this press conference. The suspect, 21-year-old Jake Patterson of Gordon, Wisconsin. He is charged with 2 counts of homicide and also 1 count of kidnapping. The other big piece of this, and again, there are a lot of things that we did not learn. Hopefully we'll learn more at that 4 o'clock press conference, which we'll carry live here on WCCO Radio. But one of the things we did learn, I think, Corey, is that she, in fact, Jamie, was the target of them. There was question as to whether or not there were connections to the parents, but that Jamie was apparently the target. Now, the question is, why was she a target? What happened? How did he know of her? There are questions that maybe will be asked and answered this afternoon. But for right now, you heard him say that the reunification process is underway now. This is obviously a very, very touchy situation because you've got a girl who has been very heavily traumatized. So you've got to really work in the mental health professionals in this, along with the investigators, because they also have a job to do. And then to get the family back into the mix, too. So this is a really tense and critical time for Jamie. But again, the headline is and, you know, a lot of the reporting, Corey, that we've been talking about this morning, a lot of that did pan out. She was found on the road.
Yep.
You know, the whole thing. So, again, more coming up, of course, throughout this day. And we'll have that 4 o'clock press conference this afternoon as well.
Yeah, very good, Steve. And just let's recap some of these big bullet points from that 30-minute press conference from Chris Fitzgerald, the Barron County Sheriff. The suspect is Jake Thomas Patterson. He's 21 years old. He is from Gordon. That is about 70 miles north of Barron. He has been charged with 2 counts of first-degree intentional homicide for the killings of Jamie's parents, and then 1 count of kidnapping. The sheriff says they don't believe he had any contact with the family. He did work to hide his identity from the police and public, and that, yes, as Steve mentioned, Jamie was the only target. Douglas County deputies found the vehicle based on Jamie's description. She described the vehicle to police. And within 10 minutes, they pulled him over and arrested him. Jake Thomas Patterson, 0 criminal history. They're not looking for any other suspects. He does have a tie to Barron, although officials did not say what that was. Jamie, just a quick update on her. She's doing good. She's, considering, I guess. She has been cleared from the hospital. She's being evaluated and questioned right now, hopefully to be reunited with her family today. Not sure what exactly happened to her these last 3 months. Did they know each other? They're not sure. But she did not go willingly. It doesn't appear there was any contact on social media. She escaped from the home. They're not sure how. And they're going to have another news conference at 4 o'clock. Hey, it's Corey Heppola, 10:32 this morning.
Jordana and Paul here. We're not going to take the top of the hour news because we are actively awaiting Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald of Barron County to have another press conference on the incredible, miraculous news that Jamie Kloss has been found alive. She has been taken into custody. We know she's been released from the hospital and is in the process of reunification with her family. Here now is the press conference.
I think it's important to provide you as much information as we can as this investigation moves forward in Jamie's case. Joining me again are our partners, FBI Special Agent in Charge, Justin Talamayo, Brian O'Keefe from the Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, and U.S. Attorney for the Western District, Scott Blader. This is where the investigation stands at this afternoon. Jamie was reunited with her aunt at the hospital this afternoon. She will also be reunited later this evening with the rest of her family. She is doing as well as circumstances allow. I have not personally seen or spoken with her yet, which I am anxious to do. Right now, we are going to let her settle in and reconnect with her loved ones. Here are some facts in the case that we can share. But again, we will not be releasing any information that puts more stress on Jamie or jeopardizes this case. We have recovered a gun
consistent with what was used at the scene of the initial homicide. However, we will have to wait for confirmation that it was indeed the same weapon after examination by the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. The gun used at the scene on the night of the incident was a shotgun. The shotgun was also used to open the was used to shoot open the door at the Kloss home on the night of the incident. The door of the Kloss home was not kicked in. With regard to the suspect taking great efforts to minimize his forensic footprint at the crime scene, they include things like not leaving trace evidence by changing his physical appearance, like shaving his head not to leave hair behind. We, again, will not be making any more comments about this to protect the integrity of the case. At this time, nothing in this case shows the suspect knew anyone at the Kloss home or at any time had contact with anyone in the Kloss family. The suspect had specific intentions to kidnap Jamie and went to great lengths to prepare to take her. The suspect did work at the Genio Turkey Plant over 3 years ago for less than 2 days and does not appear to have any contact, did not have any contact with Jamie's parents, who also worked at the turkey plant. We also know now that the suspect was not at home when Jamie escaped. While I don't know how she escaped at this time, we believe that the suspect was out looking for her when law enforcement made contact with him. On Monday, January 14th, Monday this coming week, at 3:30 p.m., the suspect will make his initial appearance in Barron County Circuit Court to be formally charged with 2 counts of first-degree intentional homicide and 1 count of kidnapping. I know all of you are searching for the answer of why any of this happened. Believe me, so are we. Not knowing will plague us for some time, but again, our goal is to continue to do what is right for Jamie and seek justice and seek that justice is served. At this time, I can take some questions.
Sheriff, do we know how he knew about Jamie? Was it a social media connection? Was there some obsession? There must have been at some point a connection between Jamie and the suspect, Mr. Patterson.
What I can tell you is we don't believe there was a social media connection, and we are determining how he became aware of Jamie. I do not have that answer in complete form yet to release.
Sheriff, what was the distance between the suspect's home and where Jamie approached the dog walker?
I was not able to confirm.
Estimate about how far it was?
It wasn't very far. She was on foot and it wasn't very far. No, I couldn't guess that, but it was not a long distance, I was told.
What about the suspect's home? What kind of conditions was she kept in?
I don't know the answer to that. I just know it was a home in a rural setting.
Is there any evidence that she had been assaulted?
We're not releasing any evidence about Jamie's condition at this time, except she's talking, and she communicated with our team up there, and she was released from the hospital. I think those are all great things to talk about. To move forward with this recovery purpose. I mean, Jamie is the hero in this case. There's no question about it. And she's the one that helped us break the case, along with everybody else that worked on it, from law enforcement to all the people.
Sheriff, can you talk more about the investigation? What are you searching for? What are you searching right now? And are you retracing the steps both of them took over the last 88 days?
Yes, those are all things we're doing. We're currently serving a search warrant at the house in Gordon. We'll be there for several more hours. DCI and the FBI will be there. They're looking at every room in that house, any piece of evidence that could be used in this case. But they plan on being there for several more hours, looking at everything in the house.
Is there a property in Barron that you're also serving a search warrant?
We are not serving any search warrants in Barron County.
Sheriff, do you know if there were other people in the house at any point when Jamie was in there other than the
suspect? I do not know the answer to that question. I do not know the answer to that question either. I haven't talked to the investigators that they just gave us a small briefing on Jamie. They didn't give us any.
How did the suspect restrain her in the home?
Do not know the answer to that question.
How are you getting this information that he targeted her? Is this all coming from Patterson?
This is all coming from our investigative team.
Sure,
so.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just to be clear, though, the suspect was not home when she left.
When she escaped the home yesterday, he was not at the home.
But at some point, he would have been returned. say went back out looking for her?
Well, when we had contact with him, he appeared to be out looking for her. Again, I can't comment that I haven't confirmed that answer to that question.
So when you made the arrest, he was not in the house?
That is correct. He was in his vehicle driving around.
Did she know her parents had died?
I don't know the answer to that question. She was in the home when the incident took place.
Are there any indications that he was stalking her, that he made any contact with her, that she was aware that somebody was on the radar there?
We don't have any information that he had made any contact with anyone in the family at any time.
Do you have any idea about whereabouts during the day? Okay, they have never tracked the pattern
of harassment. All I know is he was not employed, so he didn't go to a job. Other than that, that's all I know about his travel. And I know he was not at home when she escaped, and I don't know where he was.
Is it concerning that someone who doesn't have a criminal record or history would all of a sudden have to sort of lodge an outburst? Why did they turn
around? I'm not into the criminology of that, of somebody's mind. But, you know, yeah, this case from day one has concerned me. The volatility of this crime to shoot two people and kidnap a 13-year-old girl is very concerning. And so, you know, we want to get the answers that you guys all want, that we want to give to Jamie, and we want to give to the court so that we can get a conviction. Hang on. Patterson has been in our jail without incident. In a cell, by himself.
Sheriff, are investigators on your team looking at Patterson? I know he has no criminal record. Any family history issues? Possible.
Yes, we did get a tip on a sibling that has some criminal record, our DCI and FBI teams are looking into that.
So criminal record that seems similar.
I didn't look at his record. That was just came in on our tip line.
Sheriff, can you get any more to the escape itself? Escape, the word implies that there was a lock or some type of restraint. How did she get out?
I don't know the answer to that. That's the answer that, again, I'm not looking to put pressure on Jamie or her family. We want to reunite her, and some of that information can wait until the court hearing on Monday when more will be released in the criminal complaint, because that'll be a very detailed. But again, we want to let Jamie settle in. We want to take care of her. We've got the suspect, the only suspect we're looking for. We're not looking for any other suspects at this time. We have him in custody. We are reunited, Jamie. That has been the goal of this department and this team behind me and all of the law enforcement officers out there.
Sheriff, you're saying the primary reason that he went to that home was the kidnapping. That is the main reason for going there that night.
That is the main reason for going to that residence, we believe.
Can you tell us any more about the 911 call that came from the home that night? Are you able to glean anything that you can share with us that would give us an insight as to what happened?
No, we briefly talked about that today. That 911 call is very inaudible, and even knowing some more facts, we still can't get any information off that 911 call.
You're not looking at all the suspects, but do you think other people helped him, like buy groceries or come to the home for any reason?
That's what our team is asking that question. Neighborhood canvases, family members, all of those aspects are being looked at now.
Chris, Sheriff, who owned the house?
Go ahead, Cole.
Was Patterson a lifelong resident of the Gordon area?
Yes, he went to high school up in that area. I don't know the exact high school name, but he did go to high school in that area.
And Sheriff, who owned the house that Patterson had came
in? That I do not know. I meant to look that up, and I apologize for that. Yeah. I don't know that he owned that residence, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Have his parents contacted you at all?
No one has contacted our office.
Sheriff, do you have any more information about how he may have hid this from friend or family?
No. That is the key question, that why and how he hid this for 88 days.
Was there any running water or electricity in this cabin where they were staying?
I believe so.
Sheriff, was this a home or was this like a cabin?
They described it to me as a home.
Do you know what's going to happen about Jamie now? Long-term care, if he's going to remain with family?
We're working with the Human Services Department on what placement efforts will be taken for Jamie, but right now she's been placed with her aunt.
Can you confirm where his home is and location to where the 911 call was placed after the dog walker found her? Was it three homes down, four homes down?
I never saw a map on that, so I can't comment on that. Sorry. No, I can't comment on what he said during his arrest.
Is he cooperative?
He is I can't comment on that. They don't want me to comment on his and is his part of the case for the conviction. We're not going to comment on him.
Sheriff, do you have any reason to believe that he was stalking Jamie?
I don't know the answer to that. I know Jamie was the target. So how he was doing that is the question that we will use for our the court process.
Sheriff, besides his employment at Jenny O for a couple of days, did he have any other connections to the town of Barron?
That's what we're looking for right now. We believe he may have worked somewhere else, but we're trying to confirm that also right now to see if he worked somewhere else in the area.
Sheriff, why that night? You know they were home?
That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. So, one more.
Did you specify that shotgun was found in this cabin or residence?
It was found. I don't know exactly where the shotgun was found, but there was a gun recovered. In fact, there was more than one gun recovered, but they believe a shotgun was used the night of the incident. They found a gun, which they believe to be similar. And again, until we get some forensic database, but they did recover more than one gun at the scene, but they believe a shotgun was recovered, similar to the style used at the Colossal.
All right, last two questions.
Last two.
Is there any way that the public can help the case moving forward? Is there anything that you're looking for more clues? And also, are there ways that the public can help with Jamie's recovery? Any benefit accounts that are set up?
I know of no benefit accounts for Jamie. We didn't take care of any of that from that. As far as any other clues, if anybody knew anything about the suspect, obviously we'd like to know about that. But at this time, we've not run into any roadblocks from family, friends, anybody that I'm aware of that's hindered this investigation. Our teams are still up there. Again, we have probably 30, 40 plus people still on the scene. Yes?
Sheriff, now that you have this information, now that you have Jamie, are things starting to click together in your investigation? Things that you were looking at now are making sense.
Not quite yet, because our teams haven't been back to brief us in person. A lot of this is being done by phone. Not a very good cell reception up there. They have to leave the scene to make some cell phone receptions. And so we're getting bits and pieces from our different team leaders here, our different administrators. So, again, thank you. Again, Monday would be a key court hearing. Oh, I don't have that. There is a tip line set up for recovery and help. If you're struggling with this, your kids are struggling with this, it's 211. So you can set up 211. We'll post that information on our Facebook page along with information from this press conference. So thank you guys for coming. We don't plan any more press briefings. We will, if we need to be, the criminal complaint will be printed on Monday and available after court on Monday. Thank you.